And we were a little shocked when we saw the presentation on there. And when we arrived from England on our survey trip, we only had 3 days to complete our DVD presentation. And then we left our DVD presentation in the hands of our video man. And of course, after about 4 or 5 weeks, he finished it and we got some things back. And there were some pictures that he put in there of India. And I said, we had nothing like that in England. And so there were several things and we had corrected it. And so we purposely, with him being in the military, we were able to come back and meet with him. And so we were so excited. This is going to be the second church to see our new video. And so it came up and we're going, where are the words when the Muslim man came on there? Where's the words? And we're going, oh no. Come to find out, I had the original one in my pocket. I gave the pastor the wrong one. And so no, it wasn't your fault, Pastor. No. But man, I tell you, the devil has just been fighting us with our travel trailer and just certain things. But we know that God wants us here. And we know what God wants us to preach tonight. And it's about opening up their eyes. And so that's what it's all about. And so Pastor said that I have a little bit of time tonight. And so may I share my testimony to you before I start. Now mind you, my name's Wayne Grissom and I grew up in White Settlement, Texas. I went to Brewer High School, graduated from Brewer High School, same high school Mrs. Fall graduated from. And so believe it or not, people do graduate from Brewer High School. But however though, I live down the street from Brewer High School, and my mother, my father left me, before I was born. I lived in LA, California, and, my mother met a Marine who came right out of, the military. And, of course, he said all the right stuff and everything like that. Come to find out, he was very abusive. And then, shortly after that, you come to find out, he was abusive to us kids. Come to find out, not only was he verbally, he was physically. And we grew up in a very horrible home. And I remember as a young child seeing my mom drunk on the couch and, you know, hearing the fighting and everything else. And here I was the oldest, and I used to hide my brothers and sisters in the closet. But I remember there was a church man that used to come by, and we used to ride the bus every now and then. But you know what? Then it came to the place where my dad did not want me to go to the church service anymore. And one thing led to another. But you know, by the age of 16, I started drinking. Why? I was trying to get away from my home life. And by the age of 17 and 18, I was already starting to get in trouble. By the age of 17 and 18, I was already taking drugs. By the age of 18 and 19, I was already starting to deal drugs. And by the age of 23, I was on my way to Huntsville Prison because of a drug deal that went bad. Guess where it started? Right here in Denton.
I believe it. I believe it, brother. Yes, sir. That's why we're here.
Right here in Denton.
Yes, sir.
So when Brother Fogg said, yeah, will you come to Denton? I couldn't believe things have come around full circle.
How about that? Glory to God.
I worked at Sam's Wholesale Club in White Settlement. I was an electric forklift mechanic. There was Christians that worked all around me. They was more concerned if I had my hair cut. There is more concern in me not saying God's name in vain and all the other words. But no one told me about Jesus.
Wow. Come on.
One night, that drug deal went bad. We gave our money to a second party. They came to Denton. No, excuse me. We gave our money to a second party. That second party couldn't get any drugs, and so they gave it to a third party, and it all went down here in Denton. They ran off with our money. Second party called us. And the guys that I went with wasn't happy. And that night, a guy stuck a guy took his Bowie knife out to a man's throat. And he was going to slice his throat that night. That's when I knew I was in trouble. I said, no, Randy, don't. We took everything they owned and we said, you got 30 days. The people that took our money was a male, two males and a female. And they found them and they did some awfully bad things to them. But you know that large overpass that goes over Dallas? That's where the Texas Rangers caught them on the top of a bridge and had them surrounded. The next morning, my dad called me, who lives in White Settlement. And in the White Settlement newspaper, all the names came out. Wayne, I noticed all your friends got in trouble. Were you there? Were you there, Wayne? I did not know all that went down. But I knew I was in trouble. I knew that I was going to Huntsville Prison. You see, my dad was an ex-con from Huntsville Prison. What he taught in the home, what he lived in the home carried over to us kids.
That's right.
But little did I know, that man was called to preach in 1955 and he didn't answer. I went back to work, and luckily no one called our names. And I was so scared. I said, God, if you're... And basically, the car that I took for payment of our money, I OD'd on cocaine and alcohol going at 90 miles an hour. And I was going to a bridge embankment. If it hadn't been for a friend of mine slapping me across the face, I'd been dead and burning in hell. And coming out of Sam's Wholesale Club, I raised my fist into heaven and said, God, are you real? Is there such thing as a heaven? God, let me know. Is there such a thing? But you see, there was a missionary that couldn't go back to Brazil because of his wife. But he said, I'll make my job my mission field. And he came up to me that day and he said, God told me to pray for you. I said, no, he didn't. Here I was, long hair, mustache, looked like Papa Smurf, you know, all this thing. My belly was up here, you know. You know, I was all buff back then, I thought. But every day he loved me, and he prayed for me, and he gave me the scriptures.
Amen.
And on June 13, 1988, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, this message tonight means something to me. And I hope it means something to you about missions.
Amen.
Don't give up on that guy on the street that looks like he ain't going to mount for anything. Because I was that guy. I lived on the streets for a long while before God changed me. So tonight, if you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 8. And we're reading verse 22. Verse 22. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. I love missions, don't you?
Amen.
After I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, man, I fell so in love with Him. My mom and dad thought I was nuts. I was right there preaching, street preaching on the corner of Cherry Lane and Tacoma Street, right there across the street from Brewer High School. Because, man, that's where I got in trouble with drugs. And, man, I tell you what, I started handing out tracts and leaflets and everything else. And my dad came over there. He said, what in the world are you doing? I said, Daddy, I'm telling him about Jesus. Man, I was 23 years old, man. I said, I didn't care. Man, I was in love with Jesus. And, man, I tell you what, man, once you get saved from a lifestyle that I was in, man, you couldn't help but just go on, keeping on.
Amen.
And so tonight I want to tell you three things that are needed for me. Three things that are needed for missions. Three things that are needed to reach America. Three things that are needed to reach Texas. Yep. Three things that are needed to reach Denton. Amen. And what are those three things? Three men. Three men needed for missions. Three men needed for America. Three men needed for Texas. Three men needed for Denton. As we start at verse 22 tonight, we'll start there. And it says, man, if I can just get myself... Acts chapter 8, verses 20, we'll start at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You see that?
Yep.
It says right there, it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. You know, that's exactly what happened the day that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Holy Spirit told some old soul winner who was in tune with God that had attracted that individual that passed you by. You know, the Holy Spirit told a pastor to go start a church somewhere, like up in Sanger, like up in Denton, like in Fort Worth, like in England, like in India, or like in Mexico, or like in Brazil, or like in Puerto Rico. God, Holy Spirit, told that individual to go. Why? Because there was someone over there that was crying out to God, God, are you real? Is there such thing as a heaven? We need a group of people today that's going to be in tune with God and the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. He speaks on behalf of God, and God knows the address of you, and God knows the address of the individual around the world.
Amen.
And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? And here's the Ethiopian eunuch. This is you. This is me. Years ago. Or maybe tonight. Maybe tonight you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you don't understand what we're talking about. But I want you to look at verse 31, and this is how much God loves you, that He sends someone your way to help you to understand the Bible, to help you to understand on how to get to heaven, on how, and on for you to help you understand about the Christian life. Look at verse 31, and He said, now this is the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me, and desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of scripture which he read was this, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh thou the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened up his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We ask you please to come and meet with us. God, I know that there's been adversity that's come our way. And God, I'm here to surrender to whatever you'd have me to preach. And I have. Now God, we need to hear from heaven. We need your touch from on high. We pray that you meet with us. I pray there'll be open hearts and open minds to what you would have them to do. Help them to understand that the future of tomorrow is dependent upon the decisions they make tonight. The future of worldwide missions is depending upon the decisions they make this week. But more importantly, the future of their life is dependent upon their obedience of what you would have them to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we see something great is taking place here. And as we see this very thing, we see in Acts chapter 6, we see that the widows were being neglected, and they was asking the apostles to come help them and to tend for them. And the apostles were saying, no, we need to attend to prayer. We need to attend to studying the scriptures. And man, we need some deacons. And man, and we see that seven was appointed, and we see that Stephen and Philip was appointed. Why? Because they were faithful. They were faithful. They were servants in the church. Let me say this, and let me just get this out of the way. When I lived in White Settlement, we had a chicken farm. And my daddy had an old 60 model pickup truck. And one day he wanted me to move it in the backyard. He said, "Dad, Wayne, I want you to go steer that vehicle." And I got in that truck, I was only seven, and I had to stand up in the seat, and I tried to move that big steering wheel. It had no power steering. I couldn't move that steering wheel. Why? The truck wasn't moving. But once my daddy got behind it, I could move that steering wheel and move that truck anywhere. I was just a seven-year-old boy. I could move it anywhere. You know what? That's the same way with God. God can't steer no one when they're sitting still. But God can move you and steer you when you're moving forward. And as we look at this tonight, we see this is exactly what happened with Philip and Stephen. They were faithful. They was found faithful. They was full of the Holy Ghost. And we see in chapter 7 that Stephen, man, he got all geared up. And after the priest started twerking him a little bit about what he was doing and everything, and he started preaching unto him about what happened about Moses, about what happened out of Egypt, about their lifestyle and everything else. And man, the people got mad at him, and we see that Stephen was there being persecuted and was stoned, and we see that in Acts chapter 8, we see that great persecution came upon the church. And because of that persecution, we see that there was a disbursement of people, of men and women, of going everywhere. But everywhere they went, what did they do? They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that this is a fulfillment of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. When Jesus was ascending up in heaven, he commanded them. He said, "I want you to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And we see here that when Philip, when he went into Samaria, that he was preaching the gospel, and a great revival took place there. One of the greatest revivals that's ever recorded.
That's right.
But you know what? He could have wiped his hands and said, "Man, I did my job." But he didn't.
Amen.
We begin at verse 26. Now we're at verse 26. This great revival was taking place in Samaria. And he could have sat back and go, "Man, look what God did with me." But you know what? He was still in tune with God. Look at verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south." Arise and go. And that's exactly what Philip did.
Amen.
But I want to give you an outline tonight on how three men are needed to reach the world. And it starts right here tonight.
Amen.
Right here tonight.
Amen.
Normally, I don't share my testimony because I'm embarrassed of it. But all it takes is someone to be obedient to share the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
All it takes is for someone to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You may not believe this, but I'm a Christian, and God told me through the Holy Spirit to tell you about heaven.
Amen.
You know, that's funny. You know, I was just talking, thinking the other day, is there really a heaven? You don't know. But God knows. But as we look at this tonight, there's three men that are needed in order to reach the world. The first man is the man that who will save. The man that who will save. And that's the Savior.
Yep.
The Savior Jesus Christ. We see in verse 34, look with me in verse 34, and we see that, man, here's the Ethiopian eunuch. Here was a man, and the Ethiopians during this time, they were known to be very mean people. But here was a man that had great authority. Here was a man that was over the treasures. But right here we see in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom the prophet, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, which is Isaiah, or of some other man? The eunuch had been reading Isaiah's prophecy concerning Christ. The place of the scriptures which had read was this, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so open not his mouth. You know, when the eunuch asked who the scripture was speaking of, Philip began at this same scripture, and he began to preach unto him Jesus. The only man who can save tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it amazing, the only man that can save tonight is Jesus Christ, was the very man that was crucified on the cross, and on the third day he rose again. But at the same time, when he was ascending up, in Acts chapter 1, he gave a commission, he gave a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I want to tell you this tonight about this man, Jesus Christ. To let you know that he's the greatest missionary that ever lived. He's the greatest ambassador that it's ever was. Why? Because he left a glorious home to come to a mission field. To come before the heathen. Why? Exactly what you see right there. And to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. That's exactly what Jesus did. But wait a minute. He left the streets of gold. He left his glorious Father. He left heaven. He left what a beautiful place. He left a place of peace. He left a place of glory. He left a place where there's no tears. He left a place where there's no sin. He left a place that there was a place where there's peace. But he came down here amongst you and me, his creation. Can you imagine how he felt? To see how his creation acted? To see how those that had put their faith in Christ, how they really lived. And then as he's living upon this earth, we see that man that it came time for him to be in his ministry, and he called some men to be his disciples. But I want you to see in verse 32, look with me in verse 32 with me, and the place of scripture which you read was this, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. It means this, that one verb right there was led, meaning that it was conducted by others. Meaning that Jesus Christ, he was all God, but he was all man, and that God didn't make Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus voluntarily went.
Amen. That's right.
He was led like this.
Amen.
Not with a string. But he walked right beside these men. Our family lived on a sheep farm in England. 700 sheep. In the mornings, the sheep would look. Our house was down below level elevation, and the sheep would look right in through our kitchen window and go, and just kind of chew their cud. And my wife would go, but when it came to lambing season, or when it came time for the slaughter, we see the shepherd would come out with a little bag of oats. And the sheep would follow, not making a sound, and would follow that shepherd right into the trailer, not making a sound, dumb. Not knowing what's about to take place. Not knowing that was about to go to the slaughterhouse. But they trusted that shepherd. That's what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
And you.
Yep.
Because he knew he was following the shepherd.
Yep.
No one knows would have his reins. And he didn't say one thing in his defense. And he could have.
Yep. Right. Amen. Right.
Why? Because he was under his Father's authority.
Yep.
a man who will save. A man who will save.
Amen.
A man who was led. Mm-hmm. And tonight, we fight the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We see that he was led by the conduct of others. He was led to be killed. We see tonight that as he was led, he was all innocent. He was all meekness. He was all submission when he was led to be put to death. This description applies in a very striking manner, and it describes our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about tonight to the slaughter, he was to be killed. The characteristics that recorded is remarkable that it's recorded like a sheep or some type of animal. And we see tonight that like a lamb that's dumb, meaning that he was patient, he was still, he was unresistant. He knew to carry his cross. He knew what he needed to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What great love. I think Jesus knew that. That he was that lamb. That he was that love gift from the Father. And that if he did not fulfill his part, redemption would not take place. Salvation would not take place. The satisfaction of God's wrath, the satisfaction of God's judgment would not take place. It had to take a second Adam. It had to take one that was perfect and non-blasphemous. It had to be Jesus.
Amen.
Tonight we're here because of who? Jesus.
Amen.
So tonight if we or to go out into the world and open the eyes of others, we need to lift up who? Jesus.
Amen.
We need to lift up the very man who saved our souls from hell and who gave us a new life, who imputed his righteousness unto us, who had justified us just as if we never sinned. And now we belong to the Father. And now we have full access because of Christ, our mediator. But then there's a second man that's needed. Who's the first man? A man who will save. Who is that? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's a second man. That second man is described in our passage of Scripture, and we see that very clearly in verse 27. Look with me, please, in Acts chapter 8, verse 27. And it says, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." We see tonight that in verse 26, Philip was told by the angel Lord, he said, "I want you to arise and go towards the south." That was that Christian that's moving. And as he's moving in the direction that God told him where to go, didn't tell him where to go, told him in a direction to go. And as he's moving forward, now God or through the Holy Spirit can tell you who to speak to. We look here tonight, that's exactly what happened, and we see here in verse 27, "And he arose and went." We see that here is Philip. He did not question God, he did not question the wisdom of God, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. To think, what would have happened if Philip did not obey the angel of the Lord? What if Philip did not start going towards the south? Would he have ever seen or saw the Ethiopian man? No. Let me ask you this. What happened if Pastor Fogg did not obey the Holy Spirit and the leading of God through the inspiration of the Scriptures? If he did not obey God, would this church be here tonight? I was amazed to see all the people, Hispanic and English-speaking people. Man, what a testimony of the Lord. Man, to see this man, from Mexico, going to India. I'm scratching my head. I say, praise the Lord. There are people being called in foreign fields going around the world. Man, would you believe that people in the Philippines are going to Laos, man, going to Vietnam and China and Japan, all these places. They're going to England. They're even coming to America. What happened if they were not obeying the Holy Spirit, not obeying God? Would these churches rise up? No, they wouldn't. Would people get saved? No, they would not. And we see that God has a movement. God needs a movement. And it can only be by men and women, boys and girls, that are obedient to God when God speaks to them and the Scriptures are speaking to them. And moving forward is how God will direct you to that individual who's crying out to God. Is there a heaven?
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Consider that this Ethiopian, he was a heathen man. He had traveled many hundreds of miles to come to Jerusalem from Ethiopia to seek the way that he might know God. And that he was a man who was seeking. He was a man who was seeking, as we see, and God tells us in Jeremiah 29:13, "And ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me, when ye search for me with all your heart." 27 years ago, that was me. I was looking. I was searching. And God heard my prayer.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you tonight that there's someone here in Denton, Texas that's searching. There's someone that's crying out to God, but you'll never reach him if you're not participating in an organized visitation program.
Amen.
Why? Because the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 13 that we are to follow our pastor whose faith follows.
Amen.
God has given your pastor a faith, has given your pastor a vision, and as we follow him, then God will open our eyes to the need of reaching the lost, the need of being servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's people that's dying and going to hell, and that's why Pastor Fogg is here.
Yep. Amen.
And that's why God has called missionaries around the world.
Right.
As you do your part and we do our part, we are team members reaching the world.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good.
But let's talk about this Ethiopian man. He's a heathen. But what was he doing? He was searching for God, wasn't he?
Amen.
He went out and he bought a scroll of Isaiah 53.
Yep.
He was reading it. He was by himself. But we need men and women who will seek to find God today, don't we?
Amen.
Tonight we need men and women who will seek to find God's will for missions. Tonight we need men and women who seek to find God what God would have them to do for their life. What their purpose is for God. What their purpose is here on this earth. I want you to look at verse 27 tonight. We see in verse 27 that he arose and went, and we see that behold a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures. We see that he was a man of high position. He was a man of great authority. He had charge of all of her treasures. But we see in verse 27 that he was a man of a holy purpose too. That he came to Jerusalem to worship. Praise the Lord for that. But let me say this. He was a religious man. Did you know that England has 65 million people in it, but less than 1% attend church? Why? Because they're religious. They believe that when they're babies, they are christened, and they believe that at the age of 12 or 13, they're confirmed in the church. But Jesus said in John 14:6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me."
Right.
They're trying to get to heaven through the church. They're trying to get to the heaven through their works. And we see tonight that's exactly what happened here. Look at verse 30. We see that Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He was reading, this Ethiopian was reading a very expensive handwritten scroll of Isaiah. But let me tell you something. The Ethiopian, he was a man of authority, wasn't he? He was a man over all the treasure. He was a man that went to go worship. But he was a man that had a huge problem.
Right.
Look with me. We see tonight that he was, that we see tonight that he had a huge problem, that he was hopelessly lost.
Yep.
In Jeremiah 13, verse 23, it says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin?" Let me ask you tonight, can we change our skin color? Mm-mm. To carry on, verse 23, "Or the leopard his spots. Can I change my height?" No. Can you change your height? No. I will say this, when I get to heaven, I'll be 6'2", you'll be 5'2". No. But, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. We see here tonight that this Ethiopian eunuch was trying to do good. But in the eyes of an almighty God, he was accustomed to do evil, and that he had a sin nature, and if he died without Christ, he was going to have to pay for that.
Amen.
And tonight, if you're here, and you may be attending church, or maybe if you're counting a membership, or maybe because your mom or your dad or whatever said that you're saved, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know 100% sure that if you die today, you're going to heaven, don't trust in no one. Don't trust in your works. Don't trust in church membership. Don't trust in a baptism. Trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm sure the pastor or someone here tonight will tell you about Christ. But I want you to look too that he was helplessly lost. Helplessly lost. Why? Because he said to Philip, he goes, how can I, except somebody should guide me? He did not understand the scriptures. But who did? Philip.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing that after the great revival, God was not through with Philip?
Amen.
Isn't it amazing on how the angel of the Lord spoke to him? Isn't it amazing on how he was obedient to what God wanted him to do? Why? Because God knew the address of this Ethiopian eunuch, and God knew your address and brought the two together.
That's
good. Tonight, maybe there's someone that's God's laid on your heart. That's not a mistake. And it could be from God. And God wants you to go witness to that individual because maybe you're the closest vehicle that can get to him.
Amen.
To think that I was 5,000 miles away from Susan Pepper in Plymouth and God was speaking to me. And as I went to my pastor said, "Okay, we'll keep praying. We'll set up a survey trip and we'll go back over there." And man, my pastor and his wife and me and my wife went over there to Plymouth, England, and boom, we got connected together. Now who would plan that? Only God. To think that I was the closest voice, the closest vehicle to Susan Pepper to start a work.
Amen. That's good.
The closest. Yet God is speaking to you and they're just around the block.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't hinder God.
Amen.
Don't. Don't. God's giving you the Holy Spirit, that GPS system, that the signal comes from God. And He wants you to be responsive to that signal in order to go in the direction that He wants to go. Because He's got someone that He wants you to go reach. Don't turn the other direction, because you can crash their life. You can start over. They can't. Who's the first man? The man who will save, the Savior. Who's the second man? We see tonight that that's the man who will seek. That's the sinner. Who's the third man? the man who will serve the believer. Look at verse 31. And I'll be shutting down here in a few minutes. Look at verse 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Who was there? Philip was there. God sent him there. And we see that as he met this Ethiopian eunuch, we see that we have an invitation to guide him and to direct him. That's exactly what happened to us. We had a great work going in the Midlands. And man, we had loads of people there, but God called me to go up north. It didn't make sense. But little did I realize that we would be meeting the gypsies. Couldn't read, couldn't write. And you asked them about Christ, you said, I don't know a thing unless some person guides me. A year of Bible study, reading the Bible to them. And their eyes started opening up. What if we have not gone? What if you won't go? What if you don't listen? Missions is all about it beginning right here in the local church and you listening to God. And as you reach that next individual, you'll get on fire and go reach someone else. But at the same time, you're training this individual for them to go too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It all starts right here at the local church. But we see that he was a man of the Spirit. Philip was a man of the Spirit. He was empty of himself. He was a servant. I mentioned to you in Acts chapter 6 that the church was looking for brethren where that was of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, who they were wanting to appoint of this business to take care of the widows. I ask you, can you be servants to this local church?
Amen.
To help out here so the gospel can spread from Denton, Texas, and going beyond.
Amen.
Philip and Stephen were servants. They were faithful. They wanted God to use them. And God did use them. And I'm sure that somewhere in this mist, Pastor Fogg is in need of men and women and boys and girls who will say here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, hey, I will do my part. I will be a servant. Whatever God would have me to do, Pastor, put me in that place. Train me.
Amen.
You know what's the greatest obstacles in churches in America today? The lack of disciples. The lack of disciples. The lack of men and women, boys and girls to sit underneath that pastor and to be trained. But we see that he was a man of success. We told you in verses 5 through 8 that man, a great revival had taken place. But Philip was an instrument that God used in Samaria to bring about the most successful revival. Why? Because when he was called into the desert, he didn't question God's wisdom. Look at verse 27. He arose and went. Tonight, what is God asking you to do? God is calling for servants tonight. He is speaking to you, the cream of the crop, ones that are here in a missions conference tonight. He's calling you and he's wanting someone not to question him, but he's wanting you to arise and go. And as you do that, God will bless you. God, you will not see at the end of the tunnel until you start moving towards what God has you to do. And then God will show you His will for His life. But also too, look at verse 29. He didn't question God. Verse 29 and 30. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Look at the last part of that verse. And Philip ran thither to him.
Amen.
The invitation is going to start here in a little bit. And maybe God's asking you to do something. Are you going to question Him and just sit there? Or are you going to run forward and say, God, I'll do.
Amen.
Obedience. Obedience is the vehicle that will change your life.
Right.
Obedience is the vehicle that will change somebody else's life too.
Amen.
To think, what if Ed Tuttle didn't obey God? This old boy wouldn't be here tonight. These two boys wouldn't be here tonight. I cried out to God. God, are you real? Christians that I worked with didn't witness to me. Are you witnessing to your fellow workers? In closing tonight, we see that Philip was a man of the Scriptures. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you tell others about your salvation? Do you tell others about your experience of when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You may not can show them from the Scriptures, but you can sure tell them about that blessed day you received Christ as your Savior. What a testimony. Man, I remember that day. Woo! Man, when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, man, this girl crossed the street from me. She is 16 years old. She said, Wayne, you want to go out to the tennis courts tonight? I said, no. You stay over there. Then my friend came over. I hadn't seen in about a year. He came over with a whole cooler full of beer and some other things. I said, Billy, you may not really understand this, but I'm studying tonight. I'm studying the Bible. And he just looked at me, and as his mouth was open, I shut the door. And then basically, my ex-fiance, my ex-girlfriend, knock, 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 opened up the door. I said, Kim, how you doing? And here's Preacher Ed Tuttle, missionary to Brazil. And I said, Kim, come on in. And I grabbed her like this. I said, come in. I said, this is the guy that's telling me about Jesus. And she goes, oh, I know about Jesus. Uh-oh. What? We went to that Motley Crue concert. We went to the Texas Jam. We went to Joe's Garage. We lived together. We did all this stuff. I said, and you mean to tell me you knew about Jesus and you never told me? Mercy. As Ed Tuttle was leading me to Christ, she said, I want nothing of it, and just walked off. Everything in Kim's life went to ruin after that night. Why? Who did she refuse? She refused Jesus. She lost her boyfriend in Lake Worth when that big flood happened in 88, 89. Three divorces. Why? Who did she reject? Don't reject Jesus tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Don't. Don't. That night, that next morning, I got up, I read my Bible, I went to work, and there was a preacher's daughter, the one who told me what not to say, the one that went out drinking with her friends. And that morning I said, Deanna, guess what I did last night? She goes, you probably got drunk. I said, no, I received Jesus as my Savior. She was so happy to hear that I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. I said, how come you didn't tell me? You told me not to say God's name in vain. You told me this. You told me that. I said, how come you go out drinking with all your friends? How come this? I said, you have everything. I didn't have that. You had the very thing that I wanted, but you never told me. You know what? At break time, that young lady repented. And she said, I'm sorry. I have not had the best testimony here. And it changed that girl's life. Now, what kind of testimony do you have? You are the only Bible your workplace will ever read. What's our thing this week? To open their eyes. That Ethiopian eunuch's eyes was open. Why? Because Philip was obedient. But God called Philip. And Philip was obedient. It's because God loved that sinner. And sinner, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you feel God's tugging on your heart, don't wait. Come forward. Let God lead you because you just don't know. To think, I almost died that night, 90 miles an hour, in that 280ZX coming from fourth gear into fifth gear. And Joe Board slapped my face and woke me up, and there was a bridge embankment. I would be spending an eternity in hell. So tonight, I have three questions. Three people needed the Savior who left heaven to die on the cross to reconcile sinful man back to a holy and righteous God. Did he do his part?
Amen. That's right.
Then we have the Ethiopian. He obeyed the invitation. Understandeth thou what thou readest? And what did he say? No. He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? He accepted the invitation. And as he accepted the invitation, he started reading the scriptures, and there we see that he found out about the Lord Jesus Christ and received the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience. But tonight, this is the question. Did the Ethiopian do his part? Yes. But tonight, let's look at the third man. That's the man who will serve. He went to Samaria. He preached Christ. He obeyed the voice of God. Arise and go. Did Philip do his part? Yes, he did. Tonight I'm asking you, are you doing your part? Are you doing what God has asked you to do? That's how it works. One of these three out of place, it falls short. Jesus will always call men and women to reach the lost. There are always sinners out there. There's always sinners that will come to that place and say, I need a Savior. I need this emptiness filled. I need this unholy nature, this sinful nature. I'm sick and tired of it. Man, I need Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, as is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. For the wages of sin is death. My goodness, when I stood before the courts, I had 5 warrants because I was trying to build a race car. No judge would stand up for me. And the judge looked at me and he said, okay, Mr. Grissom, looks like you're guilty. In the eyes of an almighty judge, I did not have a good name. But you know what? If I would have had the money for a lawyer, that judge would have talked to that lawyer all day long because that lawyer had a good name before that judge. And that lawyer would have represented me. But spiritually speaking, I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a lawyer that's already paid the price.
Amen. That's right.
And that's Jesus Christ. And He's waiting over here on the side of the court. And you're standing before a holy, righteous God. And before a holy, righteous God, He looks at your filthy mess. And the Bible says that all righteousness are as filthy rags. And He's saying to you right now, girl, child, man, there's no way you can stand before me because you're unholy. You're unrighteous. You're sinful. I'm perfect. I'm righteous. And you can't stand before me.
Amen.
But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is realize that you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, if you die in your sin tonight, you will spend eternity in hell. Why? Because you rejected your payment, Jesus Christ. And tonight, all God wants you to do is to sit right there in your seat, realize you're a sinner. And when you do that, you realize that you're standing before a holy, righteous God. Say, God, I do not want to go to heaven. I do not understand what this is all about. I need someone to guide me. I'm here to tell you tonight, there's someone here to guide you.
Amen.
And at that moment, Jesus Christ would come out of that corner. And he, will you stand up for me, please? He will come out of that corner. And as he comes out of that corner, you're the sinner.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ will stand between you and God. And when, yeah, you're bigger than me. And Jesus will stand between you and God. When God looks at the sinner, he doesn't see the sinner anymore. He sees his son.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus is the best lawyer in the whole wide world. Jesus paid it on Calvary.
Amen.
And he wants you to trust his work.
Amen.
His payment. Because your righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in his eyes. As we close the service tonight. With every head bowed, every eye closed. The pastor will take the invitation here in a minute. I pray, dear God, that you would just work in hearts and minds as we kick off this missions conference. It must be that everyone have a clean heart and a clean mind before you. I pray that there will be an obedient heart to serve. To serve. To serve in this church. To obey you. But tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ and your personal Savior, don't be like me. Oh my. I almost died. I almost died of my sin. I almost died of my unrighteousness. But thank God someone came by and I listened. Don't be that individual that don't listen. You may not get a second chance. But tonight, as the pastor takes the invitation, I pray that you follow Jesus. He was obedient. I pray that you follow the soul winner who was obedient that's here tonight preaching to you. And I pray that you do your part and surrender and put your faith in Christ. Amen.
As we bow, eyes are closed, please.